you, you know? Come on, give somebody a big smile. Well, if they weren't smiling before you smiled at them, they're smiling now. Amen. You know, I was thinking the other day about getting a word from God. Have you ever gotten one word from God that changed your life? Man, how many can say amen?
Amen.
One word from God, and it changed my life forever. But it seems like when you get revelation sometime, as soon as you get it, you get all excited. It's like, oh, God, this is great. And then two steps away from that revelation, all hell breaks loose. Have you ever noticed that? That's exactly what the writer of the Hebrews says. Go to chapter 10 and verse 32. He tells us that after you were illuminated, in other words, after a revelation came, after you got a word from God, you know, recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle. Now, wait a minute, God, these don't go together. I get a revelation. I get a word from God that changes my life forever. And then I get a struggle with suffering. What is that all about? You know, what's powerful in the Greek there, and I don't have time to break it all down and give you all the words and the definitions, but just trust me, you can look it up later. But he's talking about affliction in the King James Version, struggle with sufferings. And really what he says is after you get a revelation, you will endure a mega battle that has its focus in your mind and a war in your soul. The battle lines will be drawn. Because the enemy knows that you got a word from God, there's no defeating you. So he has to come on the plane of where you can be defeated. And that's in your thinking and in your soul. That's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is declaring to us. He said, I want you to recall those former days after you had revelation, after you were illuminated, that you endured a great struggle and suffering. In other words, you received an attack that was centered in your thinking. Because a spiritual fight always follows a specific word from God or an act of obedience in the kingdom. I've had people say to me, I never had so much trouble in my life until I started attending your church. I said, well, that's a good indication you're in the right church. I never had so many problems until I became a Christian. My life was easy. Now I gave my life to Jesus and all hell's broke loose. You ever hear anybody say that? It might be that you're on the right path. Some of you are going through some great struggles this morning. I know because I'm your pastor. I hear, I see, I can feel. And I know every one of us are going to be faced with storms in our life. But get your focus off the storm. Because the storm cannot destroy you. You see, what the devil has to do in the midst of the storm is create such a convincing obstacle that we destroy ourselves. That we concede. Look at somebody and say, don't give up the ship. Don't give up the ship. You can't quit. You can't concede. Quitting is not an option. Amen? Quitting is not an option. And so the writer of Hebrews is telling us that you're going to get this revelation, but then you're going to get this counterattack. Actually, if you were to read it out of the original Greek, you could probably read Hebrews 10, verse 32 like this. After you were illuminated, you endured a mega-sized ordeal that threw you into the biggest fight you ever faced in your life. But the most critical part of the struggle resulted from the unremitting assaults that literally battered your mind. That's what Hebrews 10 says. 32 could actually be translated as. Because when we get a revelation from God, when we get a word from the Lord, and that initial excitement kind of wanes, and the storm brews, And we have these battles going on in our soul and in our minds. We have to make a choice. We have to make a decision. And that's what I want to talk about for the next few minutes. Can I do that? I'll try to be prudent. I'll try to be a good steward of our time and not keep you long. But I want you to take your Bible and open it up to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Do you remember this story? Most of us do. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats with him also. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. You know, when I read that, the Holy Spirit showed me that there'll be people coming to church this morning taking on water. Your boat is already filling. You're in the middle of the storm and you're filling up. You're weighing down. Now watch what happens in this story as it unfolds. Other little boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boats that it was already filling, but he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They've already conceded. Can you turn me down a little bit? They already conceded that they were going to die. We are in the process of dying. And you don't even care? I'm losing everything here, God. My marriage is in the tank. My money is gone. I'm sick. I can't get well. And you don't even care? In other words, they had already conceded that they were going under. Now watch what happens. He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Everybody say, great calm.
Great calm.
Thank you so much. I told the ones in the West that you all would be more cooperative out here. I did. I said that this morning. I hurt somebody's feelings. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have, come on, help me preach, no faith? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, they've already conceded. Why play the second half? We're not going to win anyway. Why go get counseling? Our marriage is on the rocks anyway. Why give any more money to God? We're already out of a job anyway. It's not going to change anything. They had got to a place in their life where they were taking on water. They had given up. They had conceded. And Jesus said, you don't have any faith. Well, look, God, if I get a little help here, if I could just see the water recede a little bit, if I could just see the storm kind of, you know, die down a little bit, maybe I could have some faith. Isn't it interesting that nothing changed and Jesus wanted to know where their faith was? I just want to ask that question to us this morning. Where's our faith? Now, before you answer that question, don't get churchy on me. Because we think faith is, well, I believe God, I'm going to have prosper and be in health, and I'm going to have the joy of the Lord, and I call those things that are not as though they are, and that's it. That's a part of faith. But Jesus said, I don't want you to demonstrate your faith. I want you to identify it. I want you to know where it's at. He said, where is your faith? It's like, where is your homework? Where are your children? Where? In other words, tell me the location of your faith. Now let's break this down a little bit. Let's look at it this morning for a little bit, all right? Look at verse 37. Notice something about this scripture in verse 37. It tells us that there was a windstorm, or there arose a great windstorm. It's interesting that word arose in the Greek means this: something that happens unexpectedly or catches you off guard. So in other words, a windstorm came that they didn't expect. a windstorm came that caught them off guard. Let me let you in on a secret as you serve God. You're going to get sucker punched. Because things are going to happen you never expected. That's how the devil works. He works in the things that you don't expect that catches us off guard. I could tell you in 30-some years of ministry, the things that have taken the wind out of my sails are the things that I never thought would ever happen. The unexpected. That was a windstorm that arose, something that unexpectedly caught me off guard. The key words here are great, which means mega. It was in such a proportion that it could not be measured. And it wasn't a rainstorm. It wasn't a hailstorm. It was a windstorm. Now, these are experienced fishermen. This was a night for sailing. It was perfect. Jesus had ministered all day. They were tired. They got into the boat. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. They were with him. Others had joined him. It was going to be smooth sailing because I got a word. It's something about the wind. It's something you can't see until it reaches you, and then you feel it. You feel what you can't see. And so the devil comes against us with that which you never expect, that catches you off guard, and that which you won't see coming. And there they were in the midst of a storm. Recently, just south of here, a little bit west, Circle Growers has, I believe, 100 acres of greenhouse under glass. This last few days, a windstorm came through that area. I understand 30 acres of glass has been blown out, shattered. And the owner was quoted by saying, we have never experienced this type of wind before. It came out of nowhere. The National Weather Service also confirmed that it was a narrow passage of wind that formed like a tunnel that literally crossed over the ground through this greenhouses. To the right, no damage. To the left, no damage. Totally unexpected, totally unseen. The aftermath, things shattered. This is how the devil works. But I don't want you to get discouraged this morning. You're thinking, my goodness, I'm in the middle of one of those right now. I'm getting sucker punched like crazy. I never thought this would happen to me. I never saw this thing coming. What came against Jesus was both unexpected and unseen. Why? Why are you in the middle of a storm? It is a preemptive attack by Satan. I want you to think of that with me. It's a preemptive attack by Satan to undo the work of God working in you. Because there's something working in you. So the devil has to preempt that with a storm unseen and unexpected in order to get your attention to undo what God is working in you. It was the enemy's attempt to keep Jesus from his goal. Get the other side. I'm going to restore my marriage. I'm going to have my kids saved. I'm going to have my money in order. I'm going to get to this church building. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this for the kingdom of God. I'm going to write this book. I'm going to write this song. I'm going to perform this way. And God says, yes, you're going to do it. And halfway through, with the joy still residue all over your life of a revelation from God, suddenly the battlefield of the mind and of the soul is raging with war of those things unseen and unexpected. I said, God, what is this? I thought I was going to the other side. I was going to go do this work for you. And now I'm in the middle of this mess. I'm in the middle of this trouble. I knew I shouldn't have come to this church. I knew it every time you go. I'm going to find me a church where there's no trouble. If you find it, let me know. I want to pastor it. And so the devil had to preempt the work of God that was working in Jesus. What was that work? Now, if you look at your Bible in Mark 5, which is the next chapter, right after this story, verses 1 to 5, gives us insight into what was on the other side. He said they came to the other side of the sea. So the end of the story is they got there. To the country of the Gadarenes. Now notice the next verse. Because while Jesus was in the middle of the storm, while he was dealing with the preemptive strike of the devil who was trying to undo the work of God that God was working in him, there were two demoniacs. The Bible says that when he'd come out of the boat immediately, when he came out of the boat, put one foot down, there they were. They came out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, if you know this story, these men were possessed and tormented. They ran through the graveyards naked. They howled like animals. They cut themselves and bled. No chain could hold them. No rope could bind them. And every day, in their torment, you go look. You go look. And they would make their way buck naked and bleeding, tormented and screaming, to the shoreline to see if Jesus had arrived yet. He's not there. Because as soon as Jesus stepped on the ground, they were there. And the Bible says they worshiped him. I don't know what's waiting for you on your other side, but if you're in the middle of a storm, it's a preemptive strike of the devil to undo the work of God that's working in you. And there is a generation that is possessed, that is tormented, that is broken, that is drug addicted, that is self-consumed, that is tormented every day of their life, waiting for you to get to the other side. But we're in a storm. Something hit me unexpectedly. I'd like to be there, preacher, but whew, you can't believe what we're going through right now. And what happens is we start celebrating the storm. And we take on water and we concede in the middle of the preemptive strike that we're not going to make it. So we'll just look for another church. Why not? So I'll just quit God, because this doesn't work anyway. I mean, here I am doing all I can, and I'm sinking. What do you want from me? How much more do I have to give? Do you even care? You don't care. You don't even care that I'm going to bed every night with tears running down my face and soaking my pillow. God, you don't even care. That's what they said. Don't you even care that we're perishing? And in the middle of all of that, my two demoniac friends are making their way to see if whether or not you've arrived yet. But you haven't, because you're caught up in your storm. You're so overwhelmed by the unseen and unexpected blast from the enemy that you have completely forgotten of what Jesus said. He said, come on, let's get in the boat. We're going to the other side. We've forgotten. He said we win. We have forgotten that we have an assignment. We have a destiny. We have lost touch with the fact that there is a commission on our lives, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against that commission, against that destiny, regardless if I'm in the middle of the storm and taking on water. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't. And I don't minimize it. But I'm going to tell you today, if you're in a storm and you're here this morning, you are in the right place. I don't know where we ended up as a church overall, that we have preached a gospel of comfort. When the writer of Hebrews said explicitly, after you were illuminated, there was going to be a battle waged in your mind and a war in your soul. And so something had to happen. As they were in the midst of this, their obedient journey with God, encountered something they didn't plan on. And I know you didn't plan on it. My wife and I never planned on it. We didn't get married 39 years ago. And while we're walking down the aisle, say, I just want you to know, hon, we're going to have this hell break out in our life when our kids are 14. You still want to do this? We didn't plan on it. The day that I took the pastorate of the church, I was so excited, and people voted on me. It's the last time they voted, you know. I got 94% of the vote. And all I could think about is, who was that 6%? Who was that 6%? Was that you? Who was that? Who that was? And I was so excited. I'm going to be a pastor. Wow. But on that day, I didn't plan on my church treasurer, who was the only one that knew anything about the finances of the ministry at the time, who did the books at home, who had the bank account on her own that paid all the bills, after greeting me, B, and saying, thank you, God, for our pastor, went back to her pew and died with an aneurysm. I didn't plan on that. Nobody even knew where the checkbook was. I didn't plan on the little 18-year-old boy who came to our youth group a few months later that took a shotgun with his big toe and blew his head off. It was unseen and it was unexpected. I didn't plan on being sued by the very people that I was sacrificing to pay on my staff. I didn't plan on that either. And had I known it, I probably wouldn't have taken the job. Had I known it, I might not have got in the boat. But the unseen and unexpected is the realm of where the devil operates. And he thinks he could suck the air out of you with these developments. But you got something for the devil this morning. Come on, look at your finger. Shake your finger like that. Say, I got something for you, devil. Oh, I got something for you. I'm not alone in this boat. There's somebody down below that's asleep in this boat. Woo. Because the Bible says in verse 39, then he arose. Then he arose. He arose. Then he arose. Then he arose. Then he arose. Because the Bible said, then a great windstorm arose. And I want you to know, no matter what the devil throws at you that's unseen and unexpected, God has something that will match it. God has something that will rise up for you and in you that will meet that need. Look at your neighbor and say, then he rose. Then he arose. Y'all right? Then he arose. Arose, the Greek word, unexpected and unseen. That same word where the storm arose that was unseen and unexpected. Jesus arose. The devil wasn't looking for it. The devil wasn't thinking about it. The devil didn't even know that it was an option. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, then a great earthquake occurred. And Jesus, up from the grave, he arose. He came unexpectedly. He came with a that which has caught the devil off guard. The devil thought he had him in the grave, but on the third day, he arose. He arose. Can I tell you something about my Jesus? Can I tell you that he is the Lord over the unseen and the unexpected? Come on. Let me tell you about my Jesus. You know why? Because in verse 41, the disciples said, they said, who is this man that even the wind and the seas obey him? That's what they said. Come on, tell me. Say, that's what they said. They said, what'd they say? They said, even the wind and the sea obeys him. Who is this man? Watch, the wind, the unseen, the sea that arose, that which was unexpected. Jesus is Lord. And the unseen and the unexpected have to obey him. They have to obey him. They have to obey. They won't obey you, but they have to obey him. They won't obey your church, but they have to obey him. They won't obey your tradition, but they have to obey him. He is Lord over the wind and of the seas. Now look what the scripture said. I know you're all happy today. And me too. And if you've never been in a service like this, hold on. We're almost done. Don't get too offended. There was a great... storm arose. But look at the Bible. The storm arose, he arose. Great storm, great calm. Oh, you missed it. A great calm. A great calm. And the wind ceased. The unseen ceased. The unexpected had to be still. And there was a great calm. You may be going through a great storm, but you're about to experience a great calm. Because the devil is no match for Jesus. Well, I ain't never been in a church like this before. These people are crazy. See, the problem is you haven't been in a storm yet. And you haven't got to the other side. See, when you've been through it and the unseen and the unexpected sucker punched you and you thought you were about to die, but Jesus arose and he gave you a great calm for a great storm. You can't help but shout hallelujah. You can't help but praise him because you know that God is real. He's real. Hey, Darlene, he's real. Give somebody a Holy Ghost high five. Woo! So you gotta understand something about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is more than shouting, come out. Spiritual warfare is more than going to the deliverance thing. It's more than that. I live spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is defined like this. You might want to write it down. It's this. It's a specific condition of the mind that involves a lifelong commitment. It doesn't matter if I'm in the middle of the storm. He said, we're going to the other side. Therefore, I'm committed to what he said, even though I see water all around my boat. See, when I was in the Navy, I had some active duty and I had some reserve duty. And on the weekends, I had to go and I had to drill once a month. But I had long hair. And you weren't allowed to have long hair. I mean, like down on my shoulders hair. Like it used to be. And my wife used to have to pin it up on top of my head. And I bought a short hair wig. Honest and truth. I had a short hair wig. She pinned my long hair up on the top of my head and pull that sucker down, tuck in all the little fragments, and I looked like a military man. But I was only a weekend warrior. Now you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Huh? Y'all with your short hair wigs on this morning? You know what I'm talking about. You get dressed up for the weekend. You say, hallelujah, go to church. Praise him, praise him. And then when you get home Monday, you're like, foot loose and fancy free, baby. Oh, it's Sunday? Praise him, praise him. We're talking about lifetime commitment. Look at somebody and say, I'm a lifer. You see, I've made a commitment in my mind that I'm going to keep rowing even though I'm not going anywhere. Even though the water's coming into the boat, it makes no difference to me. It doesn't matter if the wind is so ferocious and it's a mega storm. God told me a thing. He said, I'm going to the other side. So you can laugh at me if you want to. You could tell me to get out of the boat. You could tell me to quit. You could tell me to save my life. You could tell me what to do, what's best for me and my family. You can't keep doing this. But I'm not listening because I'm a lifer. I have a lifetime commitment. And I know that soon and very soon that God is going to speak to the storm. And when he does, there's going to be a great calm. Because I'm a lifer. I don't do this on the weekends. You know, I've often asked, people ask me, say, so Pastor, like, what do you do during the week? I do the same thing I do on Sunday. I'm a lifer. See, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for life. I'm a life addict. I gotta have some life. I don't want to go to church where there's no life. I don't want to shake your hand and not get life. Be like, hey brother, how you doing? And not that you are. This is just an illustration. And you walk away and you go, oh, that's death. I want to say, hey brother, how you doing? Praise God. Whoa, glory. I found some life. You get around church folks and you might have to take some Valium. You get around church people, you feel like there's no Jesus. You get around some church people and you feel like there's no rapture, no hope, no eternal life, no victory, no nothing that we win. We lose. We're losing. We're losing. I'm a lifer, not a deather. I'm a lifer. You see, verse 38 is the key to this whole story. Do you have a few more minutes? Okay. Verse 38, do you have it up there, Mark 4? In the middle of all this mess, Jesus is asleep. I'm screaming my head off. We're all concluding we're going to die. And he's sleeping. I just want to know, who put him to sleep? And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about. He said, when you're in the midst of a storm, tell my people they must awaken me in the midst of the storm. Because we have been so inoculated by the world, we have put him to sleep. And we're in the middle of a storm, and we're going to cry out to something. But the Bible said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Come on. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let God arise. That's okay. And his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Oh, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Notice the key word is let. When you're going through something that's been unseen and unexpected in your life, you got to let. You got to go find Jesus in your boat. I got to get the word. I got to get the word. I I'm going through this thing and my marriage is hurting and my children are out of control. And God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to concede because I'm a lifer. I'm going to the other side, God. I'm a lifer. I'm committed to a lifelong commitment here. But God, I'm in the middle of a storm. You've got to rise up, Jesus. You've got to rise up. And he said, you've got to go wake him. You've got to wake him up. Some of us have put the word to sleep in our life. We're not reading our word. We don't know the Bible. We're not quoting the scripture. We just concede the death. Because you're going to cry out to something. And if you don't cry out to him, here's what we cry out to, Wallace. You know what we cry out to? We cry out to our flesh. You don't care, I'm perishing. What kind of God are you? We shake our fist in the face of God. All this time I've served you. I gave my tithe. I came to church. You ought to be thankful for what I've given you. And this is what I get. Your flesh. You cry out to your flesh. And it has no power to speak with authority over the unseen and the unexpected. Nothing. And you're going down. Jesus is in my boat. And I must arouse him. I must say, Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. I don't know what I'm going to do, but Word of God, speak. Word of God, this has caught me off guard. This has caught me off guard. It's been unseen. I didn't know it was coming, but I feel it. Oh, I feel it. Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. Word of God. Sucker punched me. It was unexpected. It caught me off guard. Word of God. Word of God. Why? Why? Because there's an assignment. There's a destiny. There's a future. There are two crazy demoniacs every day looking on the shoreline for your and my arrival. And nobody can help them but you. They tried to bind him. They tried to tie him. They tried to arrest him. They tried to help them. They tried to clothe them. And they couldn't do it. Man couldn't do it. They needed the Son of God. But the Son of God was in the middle of the storm in the life of some disciples caught up in a boat. And while we're over here trying to counsel our way out of our storms, and justify our anger at God. Because we're just human, you know. And God understands you poor little frail human being. You can be angry at God. And Jesus said, where is your faith? I put my trust in you, God. My faith is in you. My faith is in your word. So in the middle of my perishing, I will cry out to you with expectation of my deliverance. I'm going to read just one final scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The apostle Paul had a few storms in his life. And maybe after you hear of a few of his storms, yours might seem like a summer shower. But Paul's consecrated life is what defeated the preemptive strikes of Satan to undo the work of God that God was working in him. Jesus said this in John 14, 30. The devil has come, but he has nothing in me. You begin to cry out to your flesh, and that storm will consume you. Because the flesh is what the devil feeds on. But you begin to speak the word of God and he's repulsed in a minute. But here's what the Bible says about Paul's storms. Just a little storm. From the Jews. Five times I received 40 stripes minus one. But I was determined to go to the other side. I knew that there would be some people up in northeastern Ohio meeting in a hotel ballroom in the year 2010 on July 25th. And I knew that I could not let the storm of these beatings defeat me. Even though I didn't see them coming, I didn't expect them to happen, but I knew that I'm in this for my life. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked, and a night and a day I spent in the deep. Can you imagine? Have you ever tried to just wait in the water for 5 minutes? He did it all night. He wouldn't quit. He wouldn't concede. There is a call on my life. I can't concede. God, if you don't help me, I won't be able to make it. Where to God? Because there was no one with him. Just him and his lifelong commitment, which includes you and me, the modern demoniacs. The Bible says that perils of waters and robbers and his own countrymen, his own family, betrayed him, talked about him, dogged him out, spread rumors about him. Are you serious? This is what I get? I never saw that coming. You never will. Perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, fastings, cold and nakedness. Besides all that, I had to deal with you all. I had to deal with the church. He equates dealing with the church to being beaten by rods. Shipwrecked. Stoned. So you want to be in ministry, huh? Hallelujah. But there was something in Paul that wouldn't let him quit. You and I must awaken the Jesus in us now more than ever before. Church, Matthew 7 records for us not if, but when the storms come. And the rain begins to fall. And the floodwaters rise. He who built his house upon the sand, great shall be the fall of that house. But he who builds his house upon the rock. I may be battered and I may be bruised, but I'm going to the other side. I may have a little seaweed stuck in my hair. And I may not look all polished and perfumed. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got Jesus Christ in my life. And he is a great God that can speak to great storms and produce a great calm. And if you'll call on him today, your storm will cease this morning. Paul's personal consecration to the Lord was his greatest defense against the enemy. I have to learn, as the disciples did in closing, how do I deal with the unexpected and the unseen? I have an answer for it. It's the Word of God. and it's living in me. I'd like to pray for you today. I don't need any music. I have to tell you, I'm very proud of you. I really am. I'm sincerely beaming over you. You're pretty tough people. You've been through some pretty tough stuff. And you're still on your journey. My God, I'm in company with a host of witnesses of his greatness. I'm perhaps one of the most privileged, honored people to be standing here with you. Because you're still in the boat. And you haven't quit. Because life got tough. And church didn't pan out the way you thought it would be. It wasn't as comfortable as you hoped it would be. Music wasn't right. Preaching was too long. Doesn't wear suits. I can't understand that. And you hung in there. Been falsely accused. Been betrayed. You've been abandoned. Been talked about. You've been hurt. And you're still here. I guess I'm just around a bunch of lifers. I guess that's what it is. Let's bow our heads. Father, I cry to you this morning and I pray for my friends who've taken on water in their life, whose boats are rocking and reeling, whose lives have become overwhelmed by the unseen and the unexpected, who feel right now there's no hope in the natural. And like those disciples in the boat, you purposely fell asleep only that you might teach them to awaken you in time of need. And so, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to speak now to every family, every individual, that in their greatest time of need, they would go below and awaken you. Let the word of God rise and the enemies be scattered. This morning, I pray for every family, every marriage. I pray for reconciliation among members of households. I pray for forgiveness among couples. I pray for submission among children and youth. I pray, oh God, for restoration of finances and jobs. I pray, Father God, that for every great calamity, there is a great blessing. And I ask God now in the name of Jesus, that you would come with great provision where there was great lack. And where there was great sickness and disease, you would come with great healing and deliverance. Because that's the kind of God that you are. So, there's my faith, Jesus. There it is. My faith is in you. My faith is in the Word. That's where it's at. Come on, just lift your hand up and tell Him. Tell Him, say, that's where my faith is at, Jesus. My faith is in your Word. You ask where it is. There it is. It's in your Word. Let's stand together, please. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Altar ministers, would you come? Elders, would you come along the front here, please? We want to pray for the people this morning. If you are in a boat taking on water, you're not alone. The disciples, plural, we're together. And we're going to help you. We're going to help awaken the Jesus that's in you by agreeing in prayer for you. So if you have a need, please, would you come from where you're standing now? If you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you were to die today and you don't know whether you go to heaven or hell, today you can know, the Bible says, these things were written that you may know you have eternal life. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you too can be saved. So we want you to give your life to Christ today. Also, we want to tell you, we're very excited about the ministry. We're only weeks away from occupying our new space. We were there Friday or yesterday. Yesterday, I think it was. And man, I tell you, they're moving forward. My wife is asking anybody that knows how to apply wallpaper, murals, paste on a wall, has any skill like that, to see her immediately after the service. We have 22 murals to put on walls. That's a lot of work. And I can't let her do that by herself. So we need you to help us. We're at that stage this week. The painting will be finished in the sanctuary. And so we need to do that. Also, if the Lord will speak to you about giving, please give your greatest gift. We just got word this week that we're 30,000 in overtures in our build out. So we had to come up with that extra money, believing God for it, because my God meets all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. So I'm just presenting that before the body today as the Lord would lead you to give. Don't ever be pressured from me about giving, because I know that God is able. Also, on the way out today, your tithe and your offering is appreciated. Finally, Brother Darrell is here. He's the gentleman with the longer hair. And he had his motorcycle in the west in our foyer today. August 14th is an outreach at Valley View location on behalf of a 17-year-old girl who lost her life. And we are going to reach out for that family as a fundraiser. And it's a biker community. We're going to believe God to reach people for Christ. We need your help. If you'd like to sign up to be a part of it, that's August 14th. I think you'll enjoy it so much. All right? Well, live right. Love everybody. Pray hard, not light. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Amen. God bless you.